RadioInfluence.com.
You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to In the Trenches. It is a blustery Monday morning, and it isn't a victory Monday. We don't have a whole lot of those in our neck of the woods, but we are going to talk about that Buccaneer loss yesterday, and it seems to be like a broken record of us talking about the Buccaneers and this season. And I don't know about you guys, but you know, I'm in the media. I do this podcast. I have a radio show. I got to talk about the Buccaneers. But I'm also a Buccaneer fan. And I wore the colors, actually different colors. I wore the orange for 7 years, which would make me a Buccaneer. And I wore the colors for 7 years. I've been a Buck fan since 1990. So I want the best for what's our, you know, what the Bucks have to offer. I mean, it's my team. And you know, I've never been this baffled before. There's times, you know, during the Raheem era where I go, it's just time for a change. You know, during the Lovey era, it just wasn't working. Then when you talk about this Dirk Cutter era, you know, we've changed so many different ways, but it all looks exactly the damn same. And it just, the Bucks just don't win. The Bucks are going to be in last place 7 out of the last 8 years. With 4 different head coaches. Now, that's pitiful. You know, somebody texted me last week when I was on the air on 95.3, and they said, are we the Browns of the NFC? And I said, no, the Browns are the Bucks of the AFC. Seriously, I mean, the Bucks have the worst record in the history of the NFL. They have the worst record, the Bucks. And you'd want to think that this thing's going to change every time you make this big change in a big regime, and there's going to be all these changes, and we have a new quarterback, we have a new franchise, and it always seems to look the same. But long story short, this Buccaneer team is flawed. It's a flawed team. And when you see a flawed team, it's hard to figure out where to start fixing it. It's not like you could say, okay, if we get a good offensive line, we're going to be fixed. Not necessarily. We have a lot of issues, man. We don't rush the passer still well enough. Not even close. We don't. We're not opportunistic enough. We don't run the football well enough. We don't protect the football well enough. Special teams are half-ass. There's a lot of issues. There's a lot of different ways you could lose games in the NFL. And when I say they're flawed, is when you're seeing, you know, 7 out of 8 years they're in last place. When you're seeing in 1 year, this year, the Bucs outgained their opponents 100 yards or more 4 times this year. Four times this year, they outgained their opponents by 100 yards and lost. And lost. You got to put that on somebody. And that's not just straight up talent. It's not. It's, I don't know if I should put that on coaching, because clearly this Buccaneer team is not a well-coached football team. I mean, we can sit here and argue that all you want, but you're going to lose that argument. The Bucs are not a well-coached football team. When you're looking at stuff like Bobo Wilson handoff fumble, okay? Jameis Winston comes back and he's handing the ball off to the receiver on a reverse. That's some stuff you did in Pop Warner football successfully. There's Pop Warner quarterbacks and receivers successfully making that handoff all over the country. Like all over the country, 90% of those handoffs are made between a quarterback and Pop Warner wide receivers. And Jameis Winston, number one pick in the draft, and Bobo Wilson, I don't know where he's from, but he's an NFL player. He has to have been through some shit. Can't execute a handoff. I mean, that's stuff you should be practicing and practice over and over and over to where you should be able to do that in your sleep. But we can't execute a handoff. That turns into 7 points for Dallas Cowboys. All right? That sack fumble touchdown that Jameis gave up, that's all Jameis. That is all Jameis. Jameis, like I said before, I've heard is an intelligent person. His football IQ is low because when you're scrambling and running, taking steps up in the pocket, you have to know where trouble is, or you have to know where trouble potentially can come from. And for you not to at least take a peek to see if anybody's coming is your football IQ not being very high. You don't see Tom Brady getting hit like that for a fumble. You just don't. His instincts are better than that. And it's to the point now where I'm hearing the Jameis apologists. And you know what? I'm a Jameis apologist. I am. I mean, I've taken more for Jameis, you know, from Jameis than a lot of people. And I've taken it. I've said, okay, I think this kid has potential. I like him. I like his moxie. I like his grit. I'm hoping that this works out. But it's getting to a point now where I'm hearing people say, like even places, people said yesterday, well, Jameis played well. Bullshit. But Jameis didn't play well. I mean, he wasn't the worst player on the field, but Jameis did not play well. Jameis was short-arming some balls, soaring some balls, messing hand-ups, getting hit for touchdowns. That's not well. Making a couple of good throws doesn't mean you're playing well. It doesn't. The Bucs lose 27-20 to the Cowboys. And lately, they've been scoring, you know, upper teens in points. It's not good enough to win in the NFL right now. It's just not good enough. And we're the fourth most penalized football team in the NFL. We're not well coached. We're not. I mean, when you get a delay of game from the 2-yard line, that's coaching, that's IQ too. It's both. But there's not enough football IQ to go around at one Buccaneer place. There's not enough. There's not enough football knowledge. And I'm talking about on both sides of the football. You know, I want to say, okay, we need to do this and we'll be better. It, you know, as our offensive line goes, I think Ali Marpet's had a very disappointing football season. He did not look good yesterday. He was getting drubbed at sometimes yesterday. And I'm an Ali Marpet fan. Donovan Smith, not so much of a fan. He's just a disappointing a football player. Benenock, doesn't know. Does anybody think he's good? And I saw Kappa go in there and a couple times just whiff. Listen, I've been in there before. It's a tough situation for a young football player to go in there. I've been in there as a rookie. I've whiffed before. People were talking bad about me, but that's where we are as a football team. We have Benenock, who really can't play. We have Kappa, who's not ready for prime time. We have Donovan Smith over there on the left-hand side that everybody thinks is good, but ain't. Donovan Smith still at times takes rookie steps. I don't get it. It's too deep into your career for you to be taking steps that put you in a situation where you can't succeed. You got to put yourself in situations where you can succeed. And some of the acquisitions that we had in the offseason, Bo Allen on the Dak Prescott run, Bo Allen got demolished and just washed into Lavonte David, and Dak Prescott walked into the end zone. I mean, those were our big time, you know, signings in the offseason. And some of the big time signings in the offseason ended up being some of our liabilities, and that's not good. You know, Bo Allen and Curry, I mean, did they do anything this year? There's one game left, and between Vinny Curry and Bo Allen, I think one Vinny Curry play and one Bo Allen play. That's not enough, 15 games into the season. Vita V is a different football player. Vita V right now is our best defensive lineman. JPP has been kind of silent last couple weeks. He's getting on and it's getting late in the season and he's beat down. His body's beat down. You know it is. Vita V's a young guy. He's starting to pick up his game because everybody else is beat up. And he's a young, spunky 350-pounder. And he's pushing people back now and they don't want it. So Vita V's playing his ass off. Good for him. I didn't see it early in the season, but there's definitely been some fire under him. He's playing better football. Gerald McCoy, meh. I think he had one tackle yesterday. One tackle yesterday, maybe a half a quarterback pressure. Eh. We'll just keep on paying him 15, 13, 15 million, whatever it is, for his six sacks and 30 tackles a year. We won't complain about it, though, because that would be awful to complain about it, because that's the dude. You can't say bad things about him. Now, going back to Jameis Winston, and everybody talk about Jameis Winston is playing well. I try not to treat any athletes any different than any others. The Green Bay Packers, if they're struggling, Aaron Rodgers is struggling. And Aaron Rodgers has a lot to blame for the Green Bay Packers and their demise this year. So I'm not gonna say Jameis doesn't. Jameis is, I mean, this is his team. When your team is winning, you get love for it. You know, it's your team. When your team is losing, that's you. It's on you, unfortunately. And there's still Jameis fans out there. I think I'm still in the Jameis camp. I mean, I don't believe Jameis should go. I don't think that helps with our organization in general. I think you can win around Jameis with the right tutelage, with the right coaching, with the right system. Jameis Winston, since 2015, is tied for Blake Bortles for the most turnovers since 2015. 75. It's a lot. It's a lot of turnovers. You know, Jameis and Bortles are both tied at 75, Eli Manning at 66. But to be a Jameis fan is fine, but 75 turnovers, that's a lot of turnovers. It's hard to win like that. And when you have an offense that's giving up a touchdown, when you have an offense that gives the ball up on the two-yard line, when you have an offense that gets a delay a game on the two-yard line, it's a big deal. And the Buccaneers will have double-digit losses 7 out of the last 10 years. When people talk about the New England Patriots, they're talking about double-digit wins for 15 years or so. The Bucs are going to have double-digit losses 7 out of the last 10 years. They've played the most one-score games since 2016. The Bucs have played 30 one-score games since 2016, and they've won 13. That's coaching. Good teams, New England Patriots, Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, so there's a long list. Good teams figure out ways to win one-score games. They make plays at the end. Bad teams figure out ways to lose them, and that's it. The Bucs defensively, and this Mark Duffner has done a pretty admirable job of filling in about midway through the season for Mike Smith. And if you look at what happened yesterday in that game, Dak Prescott had 161 yards passing. That's nothing crazy. He completed 80% of passes, which is not a great number. We gave up 3.3 yards rushing, you know, per carry. And we had one sack. It's not a terrible game. It's a game where you could win that game if your offense does a little bit more and doesn't give up as much. But Mark Duffner has made a case for retaining his job next year. He's made a case for it. Whether he does it or not, I don't know. Maybe somebody thinks you can get more out of what's out there. But the long and short of it is the Buccaneers have won 3 of their last 13 football games. They won the first two, if you don't remember. It's a long time ago. Fitzmagic, the whole 9 yards. That's so long ago. But they won 3 of their last 13 football games. Defensively, the Bucs have given up 430 points. Okay? Fourth most in franchise history. And twice as much as the 2002 year when the Buccaneers won the championships. Twice as much as the 2002 year. We remember what good defense looks like. Warren Sapp, give me 17, and we win. We remember what good defense looks like, and it ain't what we're seeing right now. It really ain't. And we just have a bunch of players that don't seem to fit the equation. DeSean Jackson, I'm going to applaud him for going out there yesterday and fighting with his brothers. I applaud him for that. Messed his ankle up or messed his foot up, came back on the field. I applaud that. Clearly, DeSean Jackson and Jameis Winston doesn't work, clearly. And I'm not blaming DeSean Jackson. I'm not. I think, beyond honest with you, more of the blame goes on Jameis Winston. But as an organization, clearly those two guys don't work together. They just don't. If you can get something for DeSean Jackson, go get him. I think we're a better team with him, but it doesn't make sense for him to be out there. It's hard. It doesn't make sense what I'm saying, but we're better with him on the field, but him and Jameis don't mesh. It doesn't make sense. Let's go get somebody else with blazing speed. They're not out. There's not a lot out there. There's not a lot of great receivers with that kind of speed. So be careful to let him go and watch DeSean Jackson go off on somebody's team. Next year, watch for the Bucs if they trade DeSean Jackson. And I'm going to say DeSean Jackson would be perfect with the Patriots. Everybody's perfect with the Patriots. It doesn't belong anywhere else. And I've said Adam Humphries millions of times, but and he's a free agent in the offseason as well. So what are the Buccaneers going to do with him? So the Bucs have a lot of decisions to make in this offseason. There's just not one part of this team. It's many different aspects of this team. You know, O.J. Howard is a talented son of a bitch, but 2 years in a row he hasn't been there at the end of the year. And that's important for leadership. At the end of the year, when people are fighting, when it doesn't matter anymore, you want to look to your right and your left and see people are going to fight. Not saying he's laying down. He's hurt. But 2 years in a row, you weren't there at the end of the year for your teammates. And it's hard to say, come into a new year and say, O.J. Howard's our guy. He's going to be there for 16 games when you've never done it before. I found Cameron Brate to be a disappointment this year. I just don't think he did a whole lot. To be gassed up and paid as much money as he has, I just don't think he's played his part. That O'Coin was just holding on for his life yesterday. That wasn't good. My Canadian brethren, he didn't play well yesterday. His name came up in many negative aspects. And just as a whole, we don't have enough good football players. We don't. So the offseason is just about on us. We have to play one more game. Atlanta comes here. I'd like to see what the spread's going to be, but we are at home. But I would figure to say that Atlanta would still be favored in that game. If they're not, I'm putting money on Atlanta. Straight talk. And the Atlanta Falcons, who won their last couple games, would like to go out like champions. They'd like to go out like players with pride. And let's hope the Buccaneers have, you know, that same sentiment on their chest, hopefully. Mike Evans is 4 yards shy. It's actually Falcons are 1-point favorites over the Buccaneers, which is about right, well, considering you get 3 points to be home. So everybody thinks that the Falcons are a better team than the Buccaneers, and right now they are. There's very few teams in the NFL right now that the Bucs are going to be favored, even at home. On the road, I don't know, maybe any. If the Bucs go to Buffalo, I don't even know if the Bucs would be favored in that one. I really don't. Now, Mike Evans is 4 yards shy of Mark Carrier's 29-year record for the most yards. I mean, 29 years, I look back, that's probably just before I got to Tampa Bay. I think that's probably around 88, 89. I got here in 1990. But that's a long record. Good for Mike Evans. He's had a successful year. Up and down, he's beat up a lot. But I definitely can't knock Mike Evans and his effort. He's definitely an effort guy. He's beat up a lot, unfortunately for him, and that's part of it. I mean, that's the way it goes. Now, if anybody ever wants to email me, it's ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. I have a couple emails from some people here talking about Sapp and Vita Vey. Have you talked to Sapp lately? Does he still think Vey is awful? And this came from Paul R. I haven't talked to Sapp lately. The last time I did talk to him, we talked a little bit more McCoy. I think he would have to see with his eyes that Vita Vey is definitely picking up his game. And like I said, he's playing the best. He's the best defensive lineman we got at this point, from my eye. He's making the most plays out there, making the most tackles. He had the one sack we had yesterday. Actually, should have had two sacks, and one was negated by a face mask by him. So he's getting in there. He's getting the push. Beginning this year, he was getting locked the F up, okay? And now he's starting to understand it. And he's just going to get better. As long as he stays healthy, there's no reason why Vita V can't be a beast now. There's no reason. Because I see it in him. Here's another email from David Angston. I've come to believe that Jason Light's plan from the start was to draft linemen between rounds 2 to 5 and then let them develop, as O-line often takes 3 to 4 years to develop, saving the first rounders for acquiring skill position guys. Listen, if you see if there's a lineman out there in the first round that's good enough to draft, you want to draft him. I really liked the kid out of Notre Dame last year, and I guess he's playing really well for the Colts. I don't care where you get your linemen. There's some teams out there with linemen that aren't high draft picks that are pretty darn good offensive lines. If you look at our offensive line, we have DeMar Dotson, who's 6'9", 290. Sleek, slender. Then we have Benenock. And Benenock doesn't fit anybody's system. I'm sorry. Then we have Jensen, who is kind of a tall, long-framed guy. Then we have Marpet, kind of short and squatty. Then we have Donovan Smith, who's kind of a big old teddy bear-looking guy. It seems like they all do different things differently, and a lot of offensive lines, like the Cowboys, you'll see a bunch of big guys, or you see a bunch of undersized guys, and they'll play a little bit more athletic. Some offensive lines like to pull their offensive linemen, so they need to be a little bit more athletic than others. I'm not sure what we're trying to get accomplished. I'm really not. It just doesn't look right out there. None of it. We can't run the ball successfully. And when it comes to being physical and that yard being needed, we're just not that team. And we haven't been that team in a long time, unfortunately. So, you know, there's 1 week left. Ryan Griffin was activated into number 2 quarterback, which I just don't understand what that would do. I really have no idea. I have no idea what that would do. Hopefully, that's not an indication what's going to happen in the future. But I don't know what's going to happen in the future. Like, it's not like the Bucs are playing so poorly. If the Bucs went to Dallas and just got trounced, I bet the Glazers would have said to them, "Listen, guys, this is your last day coaching against Atlanta. Let's do the best, and then let's move on from there." It's like they're just playing well enough for the Glazers should not just pull the plug. They're not playing great. They're just not playing poor enough for you to say that's it. That's over. That's it. It's been a weird season. It hasn't been entertaining. It hasn't been. I mean, other than Fitzmagic for the first 4 games, there hasn't been a lot of entertainment, man, for a football season. And you know, I'm going around looking at some other people and looking at their faces, and there's so much entertainment in their faces coming from their team. And then they look at me and I'm void of entertainment in my face because I just don't see. There's not a lot of entertainment out there. There's not a lot. There's not enough of something out there with the Buccaneers. You're definitely lacking something. So let's hope for the best in that last week of the season. We're all hoping for the best. I know half the Buccaneer fans are hoping they lose the game to get a better draft pick. At this point, I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters at this point where the Bucs come out 5-11 or 6-10. I don't think it matters whether they beat the Atlanta Falcons in the last game at home. I don't think it matters. I don't think that game matters at all to anything other than just our draft status. I really don't. I don't think that game matters whether they retain Dirk Cutter or they retain Jason Light or whether they retain Jameis Winston. I just don't think it matters. I think all that stuff in the Glazers' minds have been taken care of in their mind already. They just haven't let us know yet. So we're going to find out here real soon. I'll be back with you guys on Monday. I am off the air on 95.3 all week this week, so next week, we'll be talking about that game, and I'm going to say hopefully for a win. I don't care. Like, I don't care if they beat the Falcons. It literally will mean nothing if they beat the Falcons. Zero. It would have been a lot more if they would have beat the Dallas Cowboys, for me. To beat the Falcons just means you're the team with fewer players packed up, and that's all it means because both teams are out of it and neither one of them are going anywhere. But I appreciate you guys listening in. If anybody wants to email me, it's ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. It has been tough for us as Buccaneer fans, but we got to keep on plugging away. And There's always next year. Although that's a pretty sad thing to say. Everybody enjoy their week. It's beautiful outside. And have a very safe Christmas as well. And be safe. Peace out.
You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
This is a Jim Fannin Show quick fix on Radio Influence.
Even though it's the most positive time of year for so many, it's also a negative time of year for a lot of people because your loved ones are no longer here. Your best friend had passed away. You've lost a parent maybe 5 years ago, but every holiday, the loss of them and what you had, and maybe even you have guilt. People can really get depressed during this time of year. So if you have people around you and you know that they have had trauma, they've had tragedy in their life with the passing of a loved one or a best friend, not everybody's going to be in a festive mood and not everybody you see is going to be happy. Do your best not to judge people if they're not just ho-ho-ho happy.
The Jim Fannin Show can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.